तान्द्रसां भक्तसहिते हयथनहरा अवारं.
The personal associates of the primeval Lord, Sri Krishna, are his devotees, who are identical with him. He is complete with his entourage of devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna and his various personal expansions are none different in potential power. These expansions are associated with further secondary expansions, or servitor expansions, who are called devotees.
Bhakta adi krami kaila sabhara bandhan e sabhara bandhan sarva subhera karan.
Now I have worshipped all the various levels of devotees. Worshipping them is the source of all good fortune. To offer prayers to the Lord, one should first offer prayers to his devotees and associates. Kaviraj Goswami is here stressing the importance of approaching Krishna through the Vaishnavas. He is explaining before he's going to discuss the glories of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First, he wants to discuss the glories of his devotees and worship their lotus feet. You see, in the Pancha Tattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Guru Bhaktivinoda, we find Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, means we're offering obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, of all the devotees of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Srivas, who is the Jivatma, who is the model of one completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar, who is the pleasure potency of the Lord, who is taking the position as the servant of the Lord. Mahavishnu, who has come in the form of Advaita Acharya, and Sri Balaram, who has appeared as Lord Nityananda. But in this Pancha Tattva, all of them consider themselves the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, Lord Nityananda was a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri, as was Sri Advaita Acharya. That means they were godbrothers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. And according to the Vaishnava etiquette, one should treat the godbrothers of Guru with the same respect as one offers to one's spiritual master. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing the part of the devotee, always was very much anxious to offer all respect to Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu. But there was always a competition, because they always considered themselves to be his devotee, his humble servant. And there are many wonderful stories of this competitive spirit, of how the devotees always wanted to take a subordinate position. Although they were expansions of Godhead himself, in this role they appeared simply as devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is described that at one time, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he offered the Guru Puja to Lord Nityananda. When they first met in Navadvip, shortly after that, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, understanding Nityananda to be Balaram, the original spiritual master, and also from a very high point of view, he was seeing like this. He wanted to reveal the world. He is Balaram, the original Guru. But from a more immediate point of view, he saw him as the godbrother of his own spiritual master, therefore Vaishnava, therefore the representative of his Guru Maharaj, Ishwarapur. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great faith and humility, offered the Guru Puja to Lord Nityananda. But what happened is, after he finished offering everything he offered to Lord Nityananda would offer back to him as a Guru Puja, because Lord Nityananda was considering that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Jagat Guru, he is the Supreme Godhead. So in this way, they were offering Guru Puja to each other. And in a similar way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always take a very subordinate position to Sri Advaita Acharya. He would always treat Advaita as a senior most Vaishnava, and he would always be anxious to serve him, to hear from him, to worship him. And Advaita Acharya was very much embarrassed by this. He understood Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. His mood was he wanted to teach the world how to honor and adore and worship pure devotees and how to show the proper etiquette to a senior Vaishnava, a representative of Guru Maharaj. But Advaita in his own heart could not tolerate it because he was always considering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be his supreme worshipable Lord of life. After all, we know that Sri Advaita Prabhu, he is the one that went to the Ganges and worshipped the Shalagram Shila by offering tulsi leaves, Ganga Jal, and crying out the name of Lord Krishna at the top of his voice, begging him, please appear in this world because no one but you can possibly save the fallen condition of humanity in this age of Kali Yuga. All of your empowered representatives are hopeless unless you personally come to show the way. So on this basis, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared. So Advaita Acharya understood him to be the supreme worshipable Lord Sri Krishna. But Gauranga Mahaprabhu always considered himself to be junior to Advaita and always took a very submissive servant position. So Advaita Acharya was always trying to find some means, some way by which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would accept him in a subordinate position to be servant. And he was taxing his mind somehow or other. The Lord, what do I have to do to get him to accept me in a subordinate position? A junior is never supposed to chastise his senior person. So he was thinking, if I could somehow or other get Gauranga Mahaprabhu to chastise me, then he has accepted me as his servant. And he would go out of his way, but whatever he would do, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was always very much, Advaita, anything you do is perfect. I bow to your lotus feet. So it was very frustrating. So Advaita Acharya, he understood the heart of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that there was nothing that Mahaprabhu could tolerate less than preaching Mayavad philosophy. So he began to preach in public assemblies. The Yoga Vasishta of Shankaracharya's commentary, which is that Advaita philosophy, that you and me and everyone, we are all God. We are all, ultimately God is formless. Ultimately God is has no attributes. And upon liberation from the gross and subtle bodies, we all become one with that absolute truth in all respects. So although it was painful to his heart to have to say these things, he was preaching this philosophy, advocating it publicly. And when it came to the ears of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, that Advaita, he is preaching Mayavad philosophy. No, not possible. He is one of the exalted disciples of Srila Madhavendra Puri. He has the state of prema bhakti. The Mayavad philosophy is utterly unpalatable. It is disgraceful. It breaks the heart for such a devotee. How could he be? I don't believe. No, he is. So after hearing repeated reports, he couldn't believe that his worshipable Lord Advaita, his Guru Maharaj's representative, was doing such a thing. So he went to the place where Sri Advaita was giving his pravachan, his discourse. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very quietly sat to listen. And when Advaita Acharya saw that Lord Gaurasundar was there, he preached very heavy Mayavad philosophy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so angry that he just began to, he got up and ran toward Advaita and began beating him with his hands, saying, what are you doing? And he was beating him and beating him, and while he was beating him with his fists and hands, slapping him, pushing him. Adwaita was crying in ecstasy, just saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, what are you so happy? I'm beating you. He said, because today, for the first time, you have accepted me as your servant. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that this was all a plot, just to take the subordinate position. So at that time, Lord Gauranga became very embarrassed and apologized. Again, accepted him as his guru's representative. So through these wonderful stories, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, he is the pleasure potency of the Lord, expansion of Srimati Radharani. But how much he was simply aspiring to be the devotee of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He had made a vow, Kshetra Sannyas, which means when you are worshipping a particular deity, you can never leave the dham of that deity. So he was the pujari for Tota Gopinath in Sri Purukshottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri. So on this vow he had taken, he was not allowed to leave Jagannath Puri dham. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to be traveling, Sri Gadadhar Pandit was so much anxious to go with him. He could not bear the idea of separation from Lord Gaurasundar. So he began to follow him. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was crossing a river, which is the boundaries of Neelachal, Jagannath Puri Dham, he got on a boat and he told Gadadhar Pandit that you cannot come because you have made this Kshetra Sannyas vow. You cannot leave Jagannath Puri. You must stay. And Gadadhar Pandit said, no, I will not leave because you are none different than Tota Gopinath. Your lotus feet are one and the same as Tota Gopinath. And therefore, if I stay with you, all the dhams are within your feet. So therefore, I will never leave Tota Gopinath, and I will never leave Jagannath Puri as long as I am in your divine association. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I am only the servant. This will be a great offense. I will be a part of your offense if I take you away from your worshipable deity, so you must stay. So Gadadhar Pandit, although longing in his heart to go, he was so much obedient as a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when Gauranga Mahaprabhu was leaving on the boat, crossing the river, Gadadhar Pandit was feeling such pang of separation that he fell to the ground unconscious, crying out the name of Krishna, Gauranga, Krishna Chaitanya. So in this way we find that even the great expansions of Nityananda, Adwaita, and Gadadhar, they are all in this divine leela of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, playing the part of his surrendered devotees. So we offer this Panchatattva mantra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nithananda, Sri Adwaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda. We are offering obeisances to all the devotees of the Lord, beginning with Nityananda, Adwaita, Srivas, and then Gaura Bhakti Brinda means to all of the associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, all of the great acharyas in the disciplic line, and all of the present devotees. When we say Ananta Kota Vaishnava, that we are all glories to the assembled devotees. We are offering obeisances to all Vaishnavas, past, present, and future, all those who have taken the dust at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as their life and soul. And Lord Nityananda himself, who is the original Guru, the first expansion of Godhead, is showing by his own example in the same mood as Kaviraj Goswami. Where he would go to preach, he would sing this beautiful bhajan, Bhaja Gaurango, Kaho Gaurango, Laho Gaurange Namre, Jejana Gaurango Bhaje, Sehai Mora Pranre. Take the name of Gauranga, chant the name of Gauranga, worship Gauranga. Anyone who is doing this, he is my life and soul. I worship his lotus. So Kaviraj Goswami is explaining
Now that I have worshipped all the various levels of devotees, worshipping them is the source of all good fortune. So now he feels that it is the proper time, after worshipping the lotus feet of all the great levels of devotees, the good fortune that is reaped from worshipping the devotees is the supreme fortune in all the universe. And now he is beginning the narration of the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Pratham shloki kahi samnyam mangalacharan itiya shloki te kari vishesha bandhan.
In the first verse I have invoked a grand general benediction, but in the second I have prayed to the Lord in a particular form.
Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahotado Gorodaye Pushpabanto Chitro Sando Tamonado.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Here, Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda are compared to the sun and the moon, rising simultaneously in the horizon of Gaudadesh. The moon, the full moon, which is considered to be the symbol of beauty in this world, gives light in the darkness of the night. And the sun, which represents light, which represents knowledge, which represents God. Krishna explains in the sun, in the Bhagavad Gita, that the sun and the moon are his eyes. What are the function of the eyes? They give vision to the entire body. So similarly, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, by their coming, they are giving light and they are giving spiritual vision to all the conditioned souls in this age of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means the age of darkness, the age where everyone is spiritually blind. So they have come to give the light and the vision by which everyone can progress on the spiritual path of bhakti. They have come to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. And what is the benediction that they are bestowing upon all? What is their mercy? Cheto darpana marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam sreya kairava chandrika avataranam vidyavadho jivanam Anandam Budivaradanam Pratipatam Punamrita Swadanam Sarvatma Paramparam Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This Sankirtan movement of Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the prime benediction for humanity at large. Kaler Dosanide Rajanestihe Kamahanguna Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parampara. In this age of Kali Yuga, which is an age of darkness, which is full of faults, there is one benediction only in this age of Kali Yuga. It's simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna in Kirtan, one can attain the perfection of liberation. This is truly the only benediction in this age of Kali, is the chanting of the holy name. And the great devotees of the Lord, they are coming to spread the rays of the benediction moon of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Sankirtan. We find here in India people are oftentimes very much attached
to the rituals of the Vedas. Just like a few days ago we were in Surat and there was a very grand, ornate ceremony for installation of the deities. And of course, it is auspicious. All of these ritualistic ceremonies are very auspicious. But as Srila Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Vrindavan, when they had such an installation, Brahmins for 9-10 hours a day for 3 days were simply performing rituals, very complex, chanting so many thousands of mantras. Prabhupada said the real installation were the devotees in the back who were simply playing mridanga kartals and having kirtan. When sincere devotees chant the holy name in kirtan, that is the supreme sacrifice. It is the only recommended sacrifice in the age of Kali Yuga. And therefore, the great acharyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava system, they are not against the other rituals, but they put no importance in them. Simply kirtan, simply chanting the holy name is all we need. Everything else is, in fact, more often than not, a distraction from completely taking shelter of the holy name. The karmakandis who perform these great rituals to get auspicious benedictions, usually with the idea of getting money by performing these ceremonies, and the idea of those people who have these performances executed, they are desiring some material benefits, some material awards from their sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada, whenever he was asked about all of these complex rituals, he would just say, just chant Hare Krishna. And sometimes we would think, it's so simple. It's so simple. But factually, it is the Maha Mantra. All of the power of God is in the Maha Mantra. Certain functions, like people die, and they have all sorts of rituals. People are born, they have all sorts of rituals. People's birthdays, they have all sorts of rituals. Installation of deities, beginning of businesses, moving into new homes. There are so many ritualistic activities for every different aspect of life. For karmakandis, these things are very important. They give a sense of piety to one's life. A sense of fear of God is secured within one's mind. But factually, does Krishna, do you think Krishna is going to bestow his benediction simply because some paid Brahma is chanting mantras for you? Do you think Krishna cares about this paid Brahman's mantras? The benediction comes through the simple process, serving the Vaishnavas. And if those Vaishnavas who are very dear to Krishna, who have surrendered their lives to Krishna, if they offer prayers on behalf of the departed soul, or on behalf of yourself, your family, whatever, then you know the supreme benediction of Krishna is going to come through their humble prayer. There doesn't have to be big ritual. All they have to do is be pleased to come to your home and to just perform kirtan of the holy name, to accept some of your prasad and to offer some prayer to you. That is the supreme benediction. Everything else is like a drop compared to the ocean of the benediction that's going to come through the prayers and the good wishes of the great Vaishnavas. If you notice, every function that we have by the will of Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vinod, Srila Prabhupada, we have one ritual for every situation, Harinam Kirtan. And it is millions of times more powerful than all of these complicated things that people are doing and spending enormous amounts of money for. In Treta Yuga, you can attain God realization through this process. But in Kali Yuga, there's only one process, and that's Nam Kirtan. It's like I asked one of Prabhupada's dear friends, if a Vaishnav dies, or if someone dies, what is the ceremony? He said, the ceremony is simple. Everyone comes together. And you discuss the glories of that person, his devotion to Krishna, which is Krishna Katha, the glorification of a Vaishnava. And then you have kirtan. And then you distribute prasad. And if he's a sannyasi and he has some land, you bury him. And if he's not a sannyasi, he doesn't have any land, you put him in fire. He said everything else is not very important. That's the most important thing, is you glorify the qualities of a Vaishnava. You invite the Vaishnavas. You have kirtan together. And you offer prasad. Huh? That's all. All these other things are just for show, really. They're simply for show. Prabhupada explained, when all these big, big Brahmins, they were Vrindavan Brahmins performing all these ritual ceremonies. Prabhupada said, we did that only for one purpose. Because the people of the world are so much karmakandis, they won't take our temple seriously unless we put on this entertaining show of having these Brahmins performing. But factually, this is not what's going to call the deity to come. It's the heartfelt prayer of the devotees, and it's the kirtan of the Lord. What ritual did Sri Advaitacharya offer to bring Gauranga Mahaprabhu from the spiritual sky to this earth? He simply offered tulsi leaves, Ganges water, and cried out the holy name of Krishna with devotion. And Krishna appeared. That's the process of inviting Krishna to come in this age of Kali Yuga. So this is the prime benediction for humanity at large, the Sankirtan movement. And for preaching we may learn all these other complicated ritualistic activities, but in our own hearts we understand and we know that there's really no importance to anything except Nam Sankirtan and service to the Vaishnavas. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Suri Chedi Kori Ayudhoi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that pure love of God is within everyone's heart. And how is it awakened? Simply by serving the order of Guru, serving the Vaishnavas, and sincerely chanting the holy name. That's all we need. That is all we need. If we simply have that faith that Krishna is non-different than his name, we won't be complicated by all these other things and all the influences of other types of people and other types of schools and other types of sampradayas teaching so many different ways of approaching Godhead. The scriptures tell us again and again and again that Krishna is non-different than his name. Nam nam akari bahuta nija sarva shaktish. My Lord, all of your power is in your name. Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasagraha. My Lord, you have incarnated, advented in your name. Kali kale nam rupe Krishna bhata. There is nothing sweeter, there is nothing more nectarine than the name of Krishna. And therefore, the great acharyas, they are constantly keeping us on the right track. Just take shelter of the holy name. If we start depending on this type of ritual, this type of sacrifice, this type of observance of puja and everything, then we become distracted from the essence, from the main line to Krishna, through his name, taking shelter of that. That's all we need. Srila Prabhupada said, we can do without temples, we could do without everything. We cannot do without the association of devotees, and we cannot do without the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, of everything, these are the two most important factors, and they're all we need. It's like yesterday one very great sadhu was telling us that we should learn Sanskrit. That's very nice if we could learn Sanskrit, if we have the capacity. But according to the acharyas in our line, if you simply have faith in the holy name of Krishna, you will attain the supreme goal of life, God realization. Huh? At the same place that this person was telling us to learn Sanskrit, right next to him were Sanskrit pundits, who are karmakandis getting paid so many thousands of rupees a month just to chant slokas and don't even have much faith in God. So why should we learn Sanskrit to be like that? All we need to know is
that we must have complete faith in Krishna's name. Everything is contained in the two syllables, Krishna. And for the purpose of preaching and the purpose of just hearing the message of Krishna consciousness, if we have capacity for Sanskrit, that is wonderful. But if not, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, his purports and his translations are in a language that we can understand. And the conclusion of all of the purports and all of the messages is Nam Kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Sometimes when I go to Braja Dham, people see there's such very sweet relationship of affection between devotees there. And they say, how is it possible you don't speak their language? How is it possible you have such close, loving relationship with these people? What is the need of language? If you can speak their language, that's better. It's not better, it's nice. The infection could not be increased if I became Hindi scholar. It would be nice, we can discuss topics nicely. But the fact that we chant the holy names together, and we both understand the name of Sri Radharani, and we understand the name of Lord Sri Krishna, that's really all that's required to have an intimate, loving relationship with another devotee. Everything else is a detail. That is the heart, that is the essence. So this is the benediction of that. This is the wonderful benediction that Gauranga and Nityananda have given to the world. The holy name of Krishna. And we want, as a fruit of this class, that each of our devotees develops complete faith that all we need is the name of Krishna to take shelter of. All we require to attain the supreme perfection of life, the shelter of the lotus feet, of the name of Krishna, and those devotees who have surrendered to the name of Krishna. We need nothing else. Is there any questions?
ब्रजे ये विहारी पूर्वे कृष्ण बलराम कोति सूर्य चंद्र जिनी दोनानी च धाम से द्वि जगे थे हया सदाय गोरा देश पूर्व शैले कोरिला उदय
श्री कृष्ण एंड बलराम द पर्सनालिटीज ऑफ गॉडहेड हु फॉर्मली अपीयर्ड इन वृंदावन एंड वर मिलियंस ऑफ टाइम्स मोर इफल्जेंट देन द सन एंड मून हैव अरिजन ओवर द ईस्टर्न होराइजन ऑफ गोरा देश being compassionate for the fallen state of the world.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya ar Prabhu Nitananda Yanhara Prakashi Sarva Jagadananda.
The appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda has surcharged the world with happiness.
Surya Chandra Hari Yaiche Sabha Adhakar Vastu Prakashi Akari Dhamira Prachar ए मत तुई भाई जीवरा अंजान थामो नाश कोरी कैला तत्व वस्तुदान.
As the sun and moon drive away darkness by their appearance and reveal the nature of everything, these two brothers dissipate the darkness of the living beings' ignorance and enlighten them with knowledge of the absolute truth.
अज्ञान था मेरा नामा कहिए कहताव धर्म अत काम मोक्ष बंच आदि सब.
The darkness of ignorance, called Kaitava, the way of cheating, which begins with religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation.
धर्म प्रोजित कायतवत्र परम निर्मत्सरानं सतां वेद्यं वस्तवमत्र वस्तु सिवदन्तपत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किं वपरायरीश्वरा सद्य हृदवरुद्यतेऽत्र
The great scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by Mahamuni Vyasadeva from four original verses, describes the most elevated and kind-hearted devotees and completely rejects the cheating ways of materially motivated religiosity. It propounds the highest principle of eternal religion, which can factually mitigate the threefold miseries of the living being and award the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge. Those willing to hear the message of this scripture in a submissive attitude of service can at once capture the Supreme Lord in their hearts. Therefore, there is no need for any scripture other than the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is there any questions?
Reminds me, when devotee had asked increase love and trust between devotees, he answered in the same way that by reminding each other about Krishna. So the question remains, how do we develop that full faith just by hearing like that, full faith in the holy name?
By hearing and by serving someone who has that faith. By hearing from such a person and rendering service to such a person who has faith in the holy name, by the blessing of God coming through them, that faith will awaken within our heart.
Vrindavan,
you said?
That
is not Vrindavan.
There was a group of people who had come together and then I was doing this chanting. But then I was wondering whether it would seem at that in that place fanatic if we just directly start chanting. Though we know that it is not actually meant that way and we are just glorifying the Supreme.
You have to use your good intelligence, whatever will be the most effective in helping to bring people closer to Krishna, that we will accept. Kaladesha Patra, a preacher knows how to adjust the details of the philosophy. He never adjusts the philosophy. The philosophy is always uncompromisingly one and the same, but the details of how to apply it to a particular situation, a devotee must use his God-given intelligence according to the time, the place, and the people involved. Talk about Mayavadis who fall down to philanthropic. That's discussing generally the Mayavadis who fall from the Brahmajyoti, from the Paravyoma. They fall into this mode of goodness of philanthropy in this world. It's not just somebody who's following the regulative principles of that school, that when they fall down they become philanthropic. We're talking about people who attain the highest goal of that philosophy, who have actually realized and gained entrance into the spiritual sky. When they fall from that liberated position, they enter into the philanthropic ways of the mode of goodness in this world. when a devotee attains the highest goal of his realization, which is to go back to Godhead, he never falls down again. Janma karma chame devyam evam yogeti tatva tatya tadeham punar janma naiti mamaiti sojana. One who understands the nature of the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities never takes birth in this material world again. So that is the perfectional stage of a devotee. And the perfectional stage of a mayavad is that they must again fall down in due course of time into a philanthropic way of life. So we're talking about a very high position of perfection. As far as a neophyte devotee or a neophyte mayavad, usually in spiritual life, when you give up the path, generally you take up where you left off in your material life. Like if a devotee comes to the Krishna consciousness movement in a certain state of consciousness, and then he makes so much advancement, if due to committing offenses or to being negligent, these are usually the two reasons devotees fall down. The most serious reason is when we offend the Vaishnavas. And the second is when we are negligent in our spiritual, in taking seriously the practice of our vows. Then whatever advancement we have made is always there, but it's like it's on hold. And usually when that's on hold, you go back to practically exactly what you were doing before you were a devotee.
So what is the position of the mayavadi sannyasis, say of the Ramakrishna Mutt, who are engaged in social work? Their situation, what is their situation? They are also fallen from some level.
I only know what Srila Prabhupada said about them. Srila Prabhupada once wrote a play about them. Do you know what it was called? It was called The Chicken Mutt. Because they raise funds by having a whole business of slaughtering chickens. They have a whole poultry industry. So Prabhupada wrote a whole play before he came to America. It was called The Chicken Mutt. It's in I believe it's in Prabhupada's Lilamrita. Just to expose that all this big philanthropy, but they're murdering innocent animals. Huh? So of course these are not things we discuss so publicly, but it's even the idea of philanthropy is very mixed. You're kind to one species, but you murder another species. Huh? But in regard to what you're saying, in principle, that yes, most people who take to spirituality today, they really don't go beyond the philanthropic idea of service to God. Mana seva, madhava seva. That service to man is service to God. Huh? But, as Pejo Armatswami was explaining, mana seva, madhava seva, service to man is serving to God. Service to God. But, service to God is watering the root of the tree. Without serving Madhava, we never really make contact with the person's soul. Philanthropy is a bodily concept of life. It's a sattva guna. Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjana Nirgwan Bonitra Shatvushtoni Yagakshay Mahatma. The Vedas mainly deal with sattva guna and the three modes of material nature. The Vedas mainly deal with karma kanda, jnana kanda, astanga kanda. Krishna says, reject them all.
dharma prajita kaita patra. Bhagavatam said we reject vidyajasity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. Most of all the spiritual literatures, including the Vedas, deal only with attaining these goals. Bhagavatam says we reject it all as cheating religion. And we're only dealing with savai pungsham paro dharmo yato bhaktiran hokshache ahoit kiyaprati adajatma sukhas. Unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord. A devotee keeps his mind fixed on this. We don't want to disturb people's faith in their philanthropic work. We also want to do philanthropic work. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, para upakar, the supreme welfare work, is to distribute the holy name of Krishna.
Four original verses describes the most elevated and kind-hearted devotees and completely rejects the cheating ways of materially motivated religiosity. It propounds the highest principle of eternal religion, which can factually mitigate the threefold miseries of a living being and award the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge. Those willing to hear the message of this scripture in a submissive attitude of service can at once capture the Supreme Lord in their hearts. Therefore, there is no need for any scripture other than the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Dharma projita kaita vatra parama miramat sananam shalam vedyam vastavam atra vastu sivadanta patrayon mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimba Parayadishwara Sajjo Hridda Varujitetra Kriti Bishu Shushubhishta Kshanat. This is the second verse of the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is being explained here, Mahan Muni Krite, that the Srimad Bhagavatam was written by the literary incarnation of Godhead himself, Srila Veda Vyas. And it is to be considered the commentary of the Brahma Sutra, which is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. And we accept the Srimad Bhagavatam as the absolute authority because it is being written by Srila Vedavyas, who is an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is spoken by his own beloved son, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who was completely spotless and free of any material desires. It is described that Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul within the womb of his mother, and he had no interest in enjoying any of the objects of this world. But upon hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, being so attracted by the devotional service of the Lord, he came out. And thus his whole life was simply dedicated to preaching the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is called the Spotless Purana, Amalam Puranam. Because, as it is described in this verse, it differs from all the other Vedic literatures in that it exclusively reveals the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge, which is unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord. This verse of the Bhagavatam, within the introductory shlokas, is very, very important, because this verse in and of itself explains the difference between the Srimad Bhagavatam and practically every other scripture throughout the world. Kaitava, it is explained in Bhagavatam, in this verse, dharma purojita kaitavatra. That means it is purojita, means to completely reject. Kaitava. It completely rejects all cheating forms of religion. It only establishes the truth of Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma means the essence of the dormant nature of the soul, which is loving devotional, that propensity for loving devotional service within the pure heart. Anything but that loving devotional service is rejected by the Srimad Bhagavatam. The path of religion is generally cheating religion on the mental and physical plane. It is not purely on the spiritual platform. And religion can be divided into three. One is the path of fruitive work, or karma kanda. Two is the path of knowledge and mystic powers. And three is the path of devotional service. The path of karma kanda is decorated by all sorts of very, very beautiful religious ceremonies. And they are generally meant simply to elevate one's material condition. But it is considered to be a cheating process because all of the fruits of such type of worship are temporary, and therefore they distract one's human energy, one's attention away from the true goal of pure devotional service. The path of Jnana Marg, or Yoga Marg, is considered equally hazardous because it is considered by the Bhagavatam that what they are searching for, liberation and the impersonal feature of the Supreme, is a type of subtle sense gratification. When we are trying to enjoy our senses, gross senses, through karma kanda activities, or whether we are trying to enjoy the subtle sense gratification of merging into the oneness of God, of being God, of being controller, that is another type of sense gratification. And of course, those who are follow, as we have read, it is a temporary position because it is not the natural quality of the soul to have this unconsciousness of one's loving relationship with God, but to be conscious that I am God. Therefore, ultimately, even when one achieves the highest level of realization on the impersonal Jnana Marg, one undoubtedly must glide back down into material existence, having not taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And as far as mystic powers are concerned, they are also considered to be material entanglements in the path of self-realization. Srila Prabhupada often cites the story of one German scholar who came to India looking for the highest truth, and he was led to meet many great yogis, and he saw many incredible miracles. He saw people creating things with their bare hands, creating gold, creating ashes, creating jewelry. He saw them walking on the water. He saw them flying in the sky. And his conclusion is that Western science is essentially learning to do the same things. The yogi, he found, could fly in the sky simply by chanting certain mantras and through certain types of control of his own life airs and the forces of gravity. And science is shooting rocket ships into the outer space and flying on airplanes and helicopters. And as far as walking on water, science has created beautiful boats. And as far as creating things through the industries, they are also creating wonderful diamonds and wonderful gold and wonderful articles of this sort. So he said, what is so great about this? I didn't come to India to just find a more sophisticated way of, or a more subtle way of enjoying what science has already been offering me throughout my life in the West. I want something beyond. I want something more. And when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he heard about it, how to engage in the transcendental loving service of the beautiful form of Sri Krishna, he understood this is the highest religion. No one is giving us this. This is the greatest science. So this is also to be considered a type of cheating religion, because the allurements of having such powers is a form of subtle sense gratification to a devotee, and it simply distracts one's attention away from the humble service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the path of worshipping the innumerable demigods is considered here by Srila Prabhupada to even be more hazardous and uncertain than the above processes of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. The system of worshipping many gods, such as Durga, Shiva, Ganesh, Shiva, Surya, the impersonal Vishnu form, is accepted by people who have been blinded for intense desire for sense gratification. So therefore, none of the above three religious paths can deliver a person from the threefold miseries of material existence. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained by Sridhar Swami in his commentary of Bhagavat. Prashabdena moksha bhi sandhir api nirasta iti. That when Vyasadeva explains dharma projita, this word pra means complete, and ujita means rejection. So projita means complete rejection. Complete rejection of all those processes that are aspiring for artha, kama, dhamma, moksha, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. In the path of Bhagavad Dharma, everything but bhakti, anushuddha bhakti, is rejected. Dharmadye moksha bancha kaitava pradhan yaha haite krishna bhakti haya antardhan. The foremost process of cheating, Kaviraj Goswami explains, is to desire to achieve liberation by merging in the Supreme. For this causes the permanent disappearance of loving service to Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, the desire to merge in the impersonal Brahman is the subtlest type of atheism. As soon as such atheism, disguised in the dress of liberation, is encouraged, one becomes completely unable to traverse the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prashabdena moksha bhi sandhir api nirasta iti. The prefix pra in the verse from the Bhagavatam indicates that the desire for liberation is completely rejected. This is from the commentary of Sridhar Swami. Krishna bhaktir bhadaka yatha subha shubha karma seha eka jiver agyan tamo dharma. All kinds of activities, both auspicious and inauspicious, that are detrimental to the discharge of transcendental loving service to Krishna are actions of the darkness of ignorance. Yanhara prasade e tamo haya nas tamo nasha kori kari tatvira prakash. I'll read the purport for this. The poetical comparison of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to the sun and moon is very significant. The living entities are spiritual sparks, and their constitutional position is in devotional service to the Supreme Lord in full Krishna consciousness. So-called pious activities and other ritualistic performances, pious or impious, as well as the desire to escape from material existence, are all considered to be coverings of these spiritual sparks. The living entities must get free from these superfluous coverings and fully engage in Krishna consciousness. The purpose of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda
is to dispel the darkness of the soul. Before their appearance, all these superfluous activities of the living entities were covering Krishna consciousness. But after the appearance of these two brothers, people's hearts are becoming cleansed, and they are again becoming situated in the real position of Krishna consciousness.
Yanhara prasadi etamo hayanas tamunasha kori kari tatvara prakash.
By the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, this darkness of ignorance is removed and the truth is brought to light.
We find in the divine pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu how the Lord gave light not only to the gross materialists, but also to those very highly respected transcendentalists who were still heavily influenced by this Kaitava Dharma, or these cheating forms of religion. It is described that Gauranga and Nityananda appeared like the sun and the moon to give light, and dispel all darkness. And especially they came to dispel the darkness of this Kaitava Dharma, or cheating propensities in the name of religion.
Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Vavarjana.
Lord Sri Krishna himself, who claims in the Gita,
Vedaishta Saravar Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham,
that I am the compiler of all the Vedas, and I am the knower of Vedanta. Very interesting. Here he is saying, I am the compiler of all the Vedas, and I am the knower of Vedanta. And then he says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. That the Vedas that I have written mostly deal with Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. Religion that is still keeps one attached to the three modes of material nature, and thus keeps one fixed in the material conception of life. Therefore, Krishna says, reject all of these Vedas and be established in the self. Surrender to me.
Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami masacha.
It is said, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat puranitam, that Krishna is the father of all religion, and here the father of all religion, who has created all the great religions in the world, he is saying, sarva dharmam parityaja, abandon all the religions. Just surrender to me. I compile the Vedas, reject all the Vedas, just surrender to me. Not reject all the Vedas. Reject all the Vedas that deal with the flowery words of encouraging one toward Artha Kama Dhamma Moksha. And therefore, in this verse of Bhagavatam, which is being explained in today's reading, it is said there is no need for any other scripture except Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it's the only scripture compiled by Veda Vyas that has follow the instruction of Krishna, Traigunya Vishaya Veda, rejecting all of the materialistic forms of religion in the Vedas and only dealing exclusively with being established in the self. And what is the nature of the self? Sanatan Dharma, Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Ranityadas, Mamayavamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatan. We are all part of Krishna. Then to be established in the self means to be established in pure devotional service. The eternal constitutional position of the self. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, when they were preaching, through the process of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, they were giving light to everyone, all classes of men. We find the common man. There was a time when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in kirtan, and there was a Muslim washerman tailor of Srivas Thakur. And just upon seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful, graceful dancing, love of God awakened in his heart and he became an eternal associate of the Lord. And we find in the narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dialogue with Chand Kazi, who was a big, big, big governor of Bengal, that section of Navadvip Dham. And he was very powerful.
and he was under so many social pressures, he was persecuting the devotees who were congregationally chanting Krishna's names in public. And it is described that this Chand Qazi was actually considered very, very saintly amongst the Muslims of that part of India. And he was a great learned scholar of the Quran, and he was considered to be a holy man, very deeply, deeply religious. And in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with him, he revealed to him that although all of these great scriptures, in essence, they are leading one to that perfection goal, people are so caught up in the cheating processes which obscure the real goal from that religion. And by association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chand Qazi accepted the holy name of Krishna as the supreme path and gave up all of his karmakanda conceptions. He became a pure devotee of the Lord. Similarly, we find Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a great, great, great scholar of Vedanta Sutra. From all sides of India, people would come to learn from him. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to him that all his lifelong studies was all simply cheating. All of his teachings and all of his studying was simply the process of cheating and being cheated. And when he tasted the sweetness of the Bhagavatam conclusions, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya accepted the path of pure devotional service. And similarly, we find Prakashananda Saraswati. He was the greatest, most powerful of all Mayavadis practically in modern history. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like the brilliant sun, dispelled the darkness of this Mayavad conception of the Absolute, which is considered here to be Kaitava Dharma, and established pure devotional service through the chanting of the holy name as the only religion. Pure religion, true religion. And we find when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, those who were following very strictly the principles of Buddhism, how he revealed to them the Kaitava Dharma within their own religion and extracted the essence of pure devotional service. And in this way, they were all transformed into pure devotees of the Lord. And we find when he was in Srirangam, the followers of the Sri Sampradaya, when he was in Udupi, the followers of the Tattvavadi Sampradaya, how he elevated them beyond, even within their own religious systems, the ritualistic ceremonial trappings, and brought them to the highest level. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like the sun, he completely dispelled the darkness of Kaitava Dharma from every class of men and established pure devotional service. Tattva Vastu Krishna, Krishna Bhakti Prema Rup, Nama Sankirtana Shabha Ananda Swarup. The Absolute Truth is Sri Krishna, and loving devotion to Sri Krishna exhibited in pure love is achieved through congregational chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all bliss. This is the light that Gauranga Mahaprabhu has given with Lord Nityananda. They have reflected the light of their causeless mercy in this world through the process of chanting the holy names. And they are still present wherever the devotees take their instruction and sincerely congregationally chant the holy name. We can understand that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's, the light of their divine mercy is present wherever this instruction taking seriously the congregational chanting of the holy name is taking place. Surya Chandra Bahirera Tamasa Vinase Bahir Vastu Gata Pata Adise Prakase. The sun and moon dissipate the darkness of the external world and thus reveal external material objects like pots and plates.
Dui bhai hridayara klase sali andakar. Dui bhagavat sange karana sakshastkar.
But those two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, dissipate the darkness of the inner core of the heart, and thus they help one meet the two kinds of Bhagavatams, persons or things in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Eka Bhagavat Bhada Bhagavat Sastra Ara Bhagavat Bhakta Bhakti Raspatra.
One of the Bhagavats is the great scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is the pure devotee absorbed in the mellows of devotional service. Through the actions of these two Bhagavats, the Lord instills the mellows of transcendental loving service into the heart of a living being, and thus the Lord in the heart of his devotee comes under the control of the devotee's love.
Eka abdhuta samakali donhara prakash ara abdhuta chita guhar tamakarinas.
The first wonder is that both brothers appear simultaneously, and the other is that they illuminate the innermost depths of the heart.
E chandra surya dui paramasada e jagatyara bhagye gode korila udai.
These two, the sun and moon, are very kind to the people of the world. Thus, for the good fortune of all, they have appeared on the horizon of Bengal.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda came like the sun and moon to drive away the five kinds of ignorance. Prabhupada describes here in the Mahabharata, in the 43rd chapter, these five kinds of ignorance are described. One is accepting the body to be the self. Two is to making material sense gratification one's standard of enjoyment. Three, being anxious due to material identification. Four, lamenting. And five, thinking that there is anything beyond the absolute truth. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya eradicate these five kinds of ignorance. Whatever one sees or otherwise experiences, one should know to be simply an exhibition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's energy. Everything is a manifestation of Krishna.
Sei dui prabhur kari charana bandhan Yana haite vigna nasa abhishta puran.
Let us therefore worship the holy feet of these two lords. Thus one can be rid of all difficulties on the path of self-realization.
E dui sloki koila mangala bandhan tritiya slokera artha shuna sarvajan.
I have invoked the benediction of the lords with these two verses. Now please hear attentively the purport of the third.
Vaktavya bahulya granta vistarera dhare vistare navarani sarat kahi alpakakse.
I purposely avoid extensive description for fear of increasing the bulk of this book. I shall describe the essence as concisely as possible.
Mitam chasaram chavacho hi vignita Vagmita iti.
Essential truth spoken concisely is true eloquence.
Shunile kandibe chitter agyanari dosh krishne gada prema habi haibe santosh.
Simply hearing submissively will free one's heart from all the faults of ignorance, and thus one will achieve deep love for Krishna. This is the path of peace. I will read that again. Simply hearing submissively will free one's heart from all the faults of ignorance, and thus one will achieve deep love for Krishna. This is the path of peace. The sun and the moon of Sri Nitai Gauranga's mercy is non-different and the sound vibration coming from the lips of their surrendered devotees. So therefore, by hearing in the association of such sincere devotees the story of Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the darkness of ignorance is dispelled by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda.
Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Advaita Mahatva Andhra Bhakta Bhakti Nama Prema Rasa Tattva Bhina Bhina Likayachi Kariya Bichar Shunile Janibe Sabha Vastu Tattvasar.
If one patiently hears about the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Advaita Prabhu, and their devotees, devotional activities, name, fame, and the mellows of their transcendental loving exchanges, one will learn the essence of the absolute truth. Therefore, I have described these in Chaitanya Charitamrita with logic and discrimination.
Sri Rupa Raghunatha Padeyara As Chaitanya Charitamrita Kohi Krishna Das.
Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, first chapter, describing the spiritual masters. Is there any questions? Being anxious due to material identification. I'll read them again. Number one is accepting the body to be the self. Two, making material sense gratification one's standard of enjoyment. Three, being anxious due to material identification. Four, lamenting. And five, thinking that there is anything beyond the absolute truth. Yes. Any questions? Exact meaning of the word Kaitava. According to the word for word translation, Kaitava here is in which it means that which is has fruitive intentions. But generally it is translated as cheating. That which has fruitive intentions is cheating one's own soul. The soul is in and of itself pure and freed from all these imperfections. It is part and parcel of Krishna. It is Satchit Ananda, the soul. So therefore, any type of religion that confirms one's, or whether it confirms one's desire for material sense gratification, either gross or subtle, or teaches one to aspire for these things, those religions are cheating your own soul. By covering it and obscuring its own pure nature, unmotivated loving service to the Lord. We
Because as Krishna says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. That means mainly deal with the temporary manifestations of this world. Therefore, they're all sources of misery, ultimately. The only eternal reality is pure devotional service. Nothing else is eternal. There's no other position that the jivatma can enter into that is eternal other than pure devotional service. All material forms of sense gratification are temporary. All yogic powers are temporary. And although the Brahma Jyoti is eternal, the jivatma's ability to remain within the Brahma Jyoti is temporary. So it is only in that Vaikuntha consciousness of pure devotional service that the soul is revived its eternal nature. And anything that is distracting one's attention away from that or promising anything else is considered the cheating of the soul, cheating religion.
And the means that is given to achieve the goal, that differs from age to age and from time, place and circumstances. Even that is actually...
Which goal?
Which is an aid to achieve this goal, that is the law of God.
Yes. In the four yugas, there are... The yuga avatar just prescribes various methods by which in that age one can attain that purified state of consciousness. In the age of Kali Yuga, the method is Nam Kirtan, as delivered in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Mahabharata, and as the compiler himself came to this world in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show by his example glory of this Nam Sankirtan movement.